You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Hi and welcome. 3:04 on a Thursday in Eastern Iowa. It is the Gym Class here in KGYM. Thank you for joining us on this journey as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew on the other side of the glass, and our most important component, you, our listener out there. Love to have you interact with us again today at 319-366-1600. That is the text line here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. Our first off-the-glass segment of the year. We talk college basketball now that Iowa State, UNI, and Drake all have a game under their belts. We will kick that around with the coach, and also we will preview the big women's basketball tilt tonight between Iowa and Virginia Tech from Charlotte. Two Final Four teams from a season ago will go at it tonight in the Queen City. And should be a dandy. We'll talk about that. Have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you. A Bowling Night in America wrap up and a whole lot more. Again, that text line 319-366-1600. As a phone line as well, if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also 319-366-1600 here today. And Andrew's ready to go. You got the lights on today. That's good.
For now.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can see a little bit more right now because I'm still trying to look up some phone numbers. But they'll probably come off at some point, whether it's your show or Spencer's afterwards.
Okay. If you do turn them off, give me a signal. Because okay. If I just see the lights go out over there, I'm going to, you know, assume that something is wrong.
Right. I mean, that's fair to do.
Okay, throw a sign up. No, don't do that, Jim Harbaugh. Oh, my God. Right. Look what we did.
Yeah.
A couple other things to discuss as well here today. We didn't get to it yesterday. We were jam-packed, but I shouldn't say new, but I guess reworked rulings as far as the NCAA in their gambling, I guess, punishments. For lack of a better word, we'll talk about that coming up as well as Mark Dukes joins me from the Southwest side. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott, Andrew, everyone out there. And boy, you and Andrew had some great radio going on there. I hate to interrupt.
Well, you know, we can still talk about, you know, Andrew sitting in the dark, things like that. But I think we got more important things to move on to. A couple things that have kind of made my day a lot less bright today. Number one is that after, I believe, 7 seasons in the booth for the Chicago White Sox as their lead television announcer, Jason Benetti is leaving the Sox. And, of course, he's been doing – he did ESPN prior, dabbled with that, has dabbled at the Big Ten Network. He's now on Fox, probably their number two voice, I would say. Dare I say that? I think I do. His star is certainly rising, and he is one of the top announcers. He has been doing the White Sox games. Now he's going to go to the Detroit Tigers, Mark. The Detroit Tigers. What does that say about my White Sox organization?
Money, really, probably. I don't know, but I'm not a Sox fan, as you know. I'm not a Tiger fan, but I'm a big Benetti fan. I think he's one of the best in the business.
Steve Stone apparently is going to stay as the color analyst for the White Sox on the television side. Len Casper is going to stay as the radio guy as well. But yeah, I'm bummed. Really, really bummed about that today. I'm going to miss Jason Benetti. Of course, I didn't catch many White Sox games in the last 3 months of the season. There wasn't a real great need to do that in 2023, but it's going to be a whole new situation in 2024, at least player-wise and without Jason in the booth. So that's one thing that kind of clouded my day today. The other thing is this, Mark. As you know, being a proud alum of Coke College, this has been going on forever and ever, but I'm going to have to ask our listening audience if this came to an end recently, or at least last night. I don't know. Co and Cornell played basketball last night, Mark, over at the small event center over at Mount Vernon at Cornell. And you know what usually happens at the beginning of the men's game, correct?
I do. Toilet paper rains down on the court.
After what? The first Cornell basket, correct? I believe that is right.
I believe whoever the home team is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm looking through. Okay, Cohen Cornell played last night. Okay, I'm going through the box score. Where's the play-by-play? Okay, here it is. Going through there, and I did not see technical foul about 1 minute into the ball game. There were technical fouls, one on each team, but it was not at the beginning of the game. If you were at Coke Cornell last night or know anyone that was over there, is that not happening anymore over at the small multi-event center at Mount Vernon? 319-366-1600. Because that is going to, again, darken my day today. Because if you've ever seen it or been a part of it, it's a technical foul. They all know it's coming. And, you know, maybe they can't sneak the toilet paper in. I don't know. But I did not know that perhaps that came to an end.
Yeah, I don't know. I wondered myself because it's been a fun tradition for a long, long time in this basketball series. And it's probably not going to be the end of the world if they discontinued that. But I'd be interested as to why. It's fun and good exercise for the maintenance crew.
I tell you what, not only the maintenance, hey, it was everybody. They had that thing down to a science. I mean, it was maybe 90 seconds. They had students from the stands that threw the toilet paper. Then they'd hurry onto the court. Everybody gets it all taken care of, getting it out of there. I don't know. Maybe because toilet paper is expensive. I don't know. 319-366-1600. If you have the answers to why there wasn't toilet paper, or maybe they didn't include it in the box score. I don't know, but there weren't free throw shot. But to me, it looked as though they did not have, at least in the men's game, any toilet paper thrown last night in Mount Vernon, which, again, it saddens me. It saddens me today, Mark.
I can tell you're very bothered by it.
Well, I'm not bothered. It's just that, you know, some things in life you just expect. And if that is gone, you know, I don't know. Your Bears tonight in action against the Carolina Panthers with Iowa State basketball on. We will not be able to bring you that ball game this evening. I know you are brokenhearted about that, Mark, but we will have Iowa State men's basketball tonight for you at 6 o'clock right here on 1600 ESPN as the Bears and the Carolina Panthers will go at it this evening from Soldier Field. Also coming up tonight, of more interest, I believe, around these parts, Iowa women's basketball. It is a highly anticipated matchup between Final Four teams of a year ago. It is Iowa and Virginia Tech tonight from Charlotte. And that will get underway at just past 7 o'clock coming up this evening. And obviously a big, big challenge for Lisa Bluter and the Iowa women's basketball team, a big challenge for the Virginia Tech team as well, Elizabeth Kitley, preseason All-American going up against Caitlin Clark. They will not be guarding one another, I would imagine, since Kitley is 6'6". And she is an imposing figure, certainly, for the Virginia Tech Hokies. This is going to be a fun game, and I give these two programs a lot of credit for coming up with this matchup early in the season.
Yeah, it should be a dandy, I would think. Both teams losing to LSU in the Final Four last year. Kitley is a problem inside. She's two-time ACC Player of the Year, and second team All-America. Clark's going to be a problem as well for Virginia Tech. And I think we both agree, Scott, that win or lose for Iowa, it's not the end of the world. Remember last year, Iowa women started 5-3. They lost to K-State, Connecticut, and North Carolina State early on. And look what happened. But it should be fun nonetheless.
Yeah, it should be. And it's going to be in a neutral setting. I would imagine there are going to be more Virginia Tech folks there than Iowa folks, especially on a weeknight, on a Thursday night. Could see some. I think we'll see some black and gold in the crowd, but probably not as much as the Virginia Tech colors will be flying down there. And good early season barometer to see exactly what Iowa has inside with O'Grady and Goodman, as well as Hannah Stolke. She'll get her shot inside as well. Kittley will go outside and shoot jumpers. She's not a back-to-the-basket-oriented post player. But we're going to see. Like you said, win or lose, this is going to help Iowa. It's also going to help the Iowa bigs tonight because there's not much better in the country than Kittley.
Yeah, good measuring stick for both, and that's the big key right there, and how Iowa defends her. But Virginia Tech has some outside shooters as well, some very good ones at that. So, again, it'll be fun. It'll be a test for both teams.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, just past 7 o'clock tonight. I believe that is an ESPN2 game. I'm going to check that real quick here, but I believe that is the case tonight. And let's see.
That is correct.
Okay. Yep. There it is. ESPN2. Right after Tennessee and Florida State, by the way, they are going to be playing down in Tallahassee. That is a top 25 matchup as well. And then Iowa Virginia Tech on ESPN2 from the Spectrum Center in Charlotte coming up tonight. 319-366-1600. As we take you through a Thursday edition of the Gym Class, Kevin Lehman, the coach, is going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. And we didn't get to this yesterday, Mark, and a couple things. First of all, we had a couple of folks ask on the text line. I responded to them personally, but I wanted to get this out as well. A lot of people asking yesterday, hey, is Ironside on? Well, he wasn't yesterday, but he's going to be next Wednesday. So mark it down. Next Wednesday, November the 15th, will be the first appearance of Mark Ironside as we talk college wrestling, all things wrestling. You never know exactly what the conversation will turn to with Mark, but we will have him on next Wednesday. Looking forward to it. Iowa did have that matchup, I believe, out in California. That was a tune-up last weekend. They will get into a little bit more serious wrestling coming up in the next few weeks. But everyone looks forward to hearing Mark on the radio waves.
Yeah, they do. And I imagine given the NCAA gambling news that came down, Mark might be a little bit outspoken.
What?
Well, he always is. But
Mark outspoken? Never happens. Never happens. Well, and that's the second part of what I wanted to get to as far as wrestling is concerned, and football for that matter, because it also impacts Noah Shannon with the Iowa football team. But the NCAA came out with, another set of guidelines, or at least adjusted their guidelines a little bit as far as the punishment is concerned for gambling on a sport, not your sport, but another sport at your institution. And it sounds as though the NCAA is digging in their heels in a little bit, and it sounds like it's going to cost some Iowa wrestlers a season, the way it looks right now anyway.
Well, as far as Shannon goes, it's a shame. I think it'd be a shame for any player in his position. I don't think the penalty fits the crime. He did break rules, and he's acknowledged that, but his career is essentially over. And I think Scott Dockerman of The Athletic, a frequent visitor, on KGYM had a great idea. Make Noah Shannon the honorary captain for the final home game against Illinois a week from Saturday. I think that'd be terrific. As far as the wrestlers go, the way I read the revision in the NCAA penalties is that if you bet on a team at your school, not the sport you're involved in, but another one, as Shannon did, you lose a season of eligibility and you lose a year. That impacts the four wrestlers identified in that this probe: Kobe Seabrick, Nelson Brands, Ava Saad, and Tony Cassiope. I'm not sure which of those four or multiple of those four, you know, that's going to be the end of their careers unless something changes. But again, I just don't. You got to have a deterrent, okay? This can't be Montana and you can drive 100 miles an hour. There's speed limits and there's regulations as far as the gambling goes. Like them or not, the players know what they got into. But again, the penalty hardly fits the crime.
I would agree. And love your input and your reaction on the text line at 319-366-1600. And I compare it with so many of the other – listen, the NCAA, we know one thing. They have been horribly inconsistent in their findings over the years, from eligibility to punishment to whatever the case may be. This is one organization, and I really don't know how – they are still functioning at this point, but they are, and they're probably going to be around for a long, long time. But to have a year of eligibility taken away from you for basically in every 6 months, gambling is becoming more and more, is becoming more legal across the country. More states are ratifying it. More states are bringing gambling in. It's not going to be very long in the future, and we're going to have gambling from sea to shining sea. Whether you like it or not, whether you participate or not, it is a part of the landscape of athletics. I get it, and I'm with you, Mark. These athletes have been told, it is written, it is everywhere to see, that you cannot gamble. Do not gamble on your team. Do not gamble on other teams. They broke a rule. They should be punished. But to have them lose a year of eligibility, sit out as well for a season, and then have, A, other folks around the country and other athletes around the country telling them during athletic events that, hey, we did it too. There's the first problem, the inconsistency there. The second inconsistency is, okay, there's another rule that's broken, say, you know, and you can't say anything about money anymore with NIL around, but okay, so-and-so broke into an apartment building, blah, blah, blah. Oh, they're going to be out for, you know, school instituted two games or one game or whatever the case may be. I mean, the inconsistencies across the line are just, they blow your mind, to be honest with you.
You're messing with people's lives is what the NCAA is doing. You know, a year in jail for jaywalking, I liken it to. Granted, jaywalking, as near as I can tell, is against the law. But I can't say it enough that the punishment doesn't fit the crime. And these guys, these athletes worked their entire lives to get where they're at. Noah Shannon went into his senior year trying to position himself for a shot at the NFL. Maybe he still will have one. What's left for these wrestlers? And again, I don't know whose eligibility will be exhausted or not, but I mean, it's going to impact the team. It's going to impact them individually. And sure, they're sorry they did it and probably shouldn't have done it, but God, it just, I just shake my head with the NCAA's response to this.
5037 on the text line from the 641 area code. Just want to know how they enforce these rules, talking about the NCAA. Why was Harris and the Iowa State guy allowed to come back, but some guys are done for good? Different set of rules. These are amended rules that we are talking about now. And they got in on the pre-amended rules, if that makes any sense out there whatsoever. How do they enforce these rules? Well, they got to come up with a way to do that. That is a very good question here. Why are the Iowa kids the only ones being punished? Asks 6810. That's the $60 million question around the country right now. And we've gotten a few answers, but we haven't got all the answers that we need. I still think that, this is going to be... It's not only going to be an Iowa situation. There are going to be other states that are going to get into this thing. We are just not there yet. This took a long time, if you recall, Mark, to get all the T's crossed and the I's dotted before all of the allegations against the Iowa and Iowa State athletes came out. Maybe they're still fact-finding in some of these other states. I think that may be the case. Andy on the text line, I'm not a lawyer, but this sounds like ex post facto. It's a great show, by the way, Andrew, when we can get ex post facto on today. Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Determining the penalty after the crime is committed. The NCAA's days are numbered, in his opinion. I would love that, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, the NCAA has fouled up so many times. And they are still out there and still foul. That could be their motto, still fouling up after all these years. But, hey, unfortunately, I think it's going to stick around, though, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, the penalties may change. They may revisit this again soon, but it doesn't do the athletes that we mentioned any good. Sean Hanukkah, the tight end from Iowa State, also involved. He's going to lose a year as well. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen from here. The landscape will change certainly in the next couple, 3 years, 5 years, who knows. But right now, it's not I just don't like it. It's not a great situation by any means for these athletes or the teams. You know, I don't know, you know. If you bet on, let's say these guys bet on the Iowa-South Carolina women's game or something like that. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, and there's the relationships between basketball teams, some closer than others. Maybe get inside information. I get that. But a whole year... 1 year out of your life and your athletic eligibility. Give me two games, maybe even four. Not a year.
For first offense as well. And 0818, you bring up a great point. Very good point. And I agree with you. They knew the punishment would be too severe or not. They blew it. They're probably more sorry that they got caught than the betting. Yeah, we are not saying they should get off scot-free. I mean, Mark, you just said two games, four games, whatever the case may be. Take a look at baseball. For, you know, if you are caught with a banned substance, what is it? First offense is, 30 days or something like that? And then a season after that? I mean, maybe come up with some sort of a punishment that's around that? You know, those circumstances. I don't know. They should be penalized. They should be punished. But a year, I don't know. I don't know. Yes, Drew Ott, 2170. I always think of him whenever this discussion is discussed with the NCAA. Yet Bill Self did not miss a game, says 9006. Amen. I believe that is the final word on our discussion today, Mark.
Lifetime contract for Bill.
Yep. Bill Self got off scot-free on all of this. 3:29, and we're going to talk to the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up here in just a little bit. We need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update first. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Don't forget, tomorrow we will have your next opportunity to win a $30 gift card with Emil's Hideaway. The Emil's Pick 6 brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Who won that last week? Oh, that was me. So we will have that opportunity to give you a $30 gift card. If you hitch your wagon up to the correct prognosticator, that'll be coming up tomorrow. Emil's located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. What do we got today?
Semifinal action in high school football continuing today at the Unidome. Class A semifinals. East Buchanan has fallen to number 2 Woodbury Central, 28-20 after the Bucks led at halftime. Woodbury Central will face West Hancock, a 39-14 victor earlier over Madrid. Tonight in 4A, Western Dubuque takes on Bondurant Farrar, and more action through the end of the week. Great night for the Murrays in Sacramento. The Kings did win the game against the Trailblazers, but nice atmosphere for Keegan and Chris Murray, the Murray family, even Mike and Patty Street, who were in attendance. Keegan had 9 points and 7 rebounds. Chris played about 9 minutes, but in his first action of the game in the second quarter, blocked Keegan's shot. And cool, they exchanged jerseys at the end of the game. Wonderful thing for those two boys and their family. In the Michigan ongoing saga, Ryan Day of Ohio State, Greg Schiano of Rutgers have denied providing information on Michigan's signals before the 2022 Big Ten Championship game. Surprise, surprise. And finally, world number one golfer Scotty Scheffler, in a celebrity doubles match, his partner was the number one ranked women's player. Scheffler and she beat number one ranked Ben Johns in a celebrity pickleball match yesterday. This Ben Johns has been number one in the world for 281 straight weeks. And the story goes that Scheffler got him, maybe didn't embarrass him, but held his own very well against that number one player. So after golf, Scheffler may have a future in pickleball.
Don't we all? don't we? If we, you know what time of the golf calendar it is right now, Mark?
Tiger Woods time.
Oh yeah, it's the Tiger was spotted time. He was caddying for Charlie, and Tiger was spotted hitting balls. So Tiger is on comeback number 6.0 right now, and is going to win everything in sight after he and Charlie do well at the father-son coming up. You can set your watch by it. Daylight savings time, then the Tiger seen hitting balls. It's happened. 3:33, we're going to take a break. Come back. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us, and we will talk college hoops for the first time this year on our Off the Glass segment. That's coming up next here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we'll have plenty of sunshine today, and temperatures will be in the mid-50s. It is going to get windy throughout the rest of the afternoon, and winds could gust as high as 35 miles per hour. Later tonight, a weak cold front will move through, leading to a few clouds and some sprinkles. We'll then have temperatures dropping down into the upper 20s as the sky is clear. Tomorrow will be sunny and a bit cooler, with temperatures in the mid to upper 40s. We'll be around 50 on Saturday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Stack up on pet supplies from Menards and save 11% on everything. Come check our great selection of pet food and wildlife supplies. Chicken Soup for the Soul is a dog food made with real beef and quality ingredients. It provides well-balanced nutrition for supporting happy, healthy pets. Right now, get a 13-ounce can for just $2.49 after 11% off. Good through November 12th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local this holiday season for gifts or food, a deserving charity, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Video Games Etc. in Marion, Cedar Rapids, and Coralville. I'm on internet serving Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, and Dubuque, Orchestra, Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Tune in every Wednesday to catch the WagerWise podcast for your weekly dose of sports betting wisdom on KGYMRadio.com. Presented by Betfred.
Bundling and saving with GEICO is an easy choice, so you're free to ponder life's big questions, like, what's the best animal in the world if not humans? I'd strongly consider ducks to be somewhere up there on the list. Think about it. Ducks can swim, ducks can fly, and ducks can walk on land. They have access to all terrains. They are the ultimate animal. And they wiggle their butts when they walk, which is funny. Yeah, ducks are awesome. End of story. Bundling and saving with GEICO. It's an easy choice.
Today, football is a game of sound. What if you couldn't hear your coach's play calls? What if you couldn't hear the referee's whistle? For deaf and hard of hearing athletes like me, these what-ifs are a reality, but with the AT&T 5G helmet, now we can see play calls just like the other teams hear them.
Connect the player, change the game. Learn more at att.com/5G helmet. Connecting changes everything. AT&T. AT&T is a proud supporter of the Gallaudet Bison. AT&T 5G helmet not for sale.
3:37, we are back. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. We mentioned tomorrow we've got, for you, we will have the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, chance to win a $30 gift card. We'll preview Iowa and Rutgers, Iowa State and Brigham Young, and the college and pro football weekend. We will do that coming up tomorrow for you right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We got Spencer on sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Todd Brommelkamp show bright and early at 6:30 until 9 o'clock. Tonight as well, Iowa State and Lindenwood coming up from James A. Chilton Coliseum in Ames. Iowa State is a cozy 33-point favorite in that one to take down Lindenwood, who comes in 0-1. On the season. We're going to talk basketball now. First of our off-the-glass segments. And once again, Kevin Lehman, the coach, kind enough to join us today and all through hoop season for 2023-2024. And they say it's Christmas, but tis the best time of the year to have college hoops back, Kevin.
Scott, excited to be back with you. It seems like we were just talking about the Final Four a couple weeks ago. We're off to a great start.
We are. And let's go back to last night. The last team in the state to get going was Drake at home against Lipscomb from the Atlantic Sun. And, I think Tucker DeVries is ready to go. 36-5 and 6 assists last night to lead the Bulldogs.
Scott, he had the first 17 of the second half all by himself. Obviously, preseason player of the year, last year's player of the year, I don't think anybody can catch him. Cade Tyson from Belmont is playing really well, but one game under his belt. And this is a Drake team with some new pieces. Brody Darren's back, looking really good. They say he's sporting a six-pack now. But they got some new wings. Remember Roman Penn, Sturts,
DJ Wilkins, those guys were there for an eternity. So some new pieces for Darren DeVries, but they're off to a good start.
Would love to have seen the UNI North Texas game. I wasn't able to take it in, but that was a North Texas defending NIT champions, winning in overtime, but a really good effort for Northern Iowa, didn't you think?
Yeah, Mark, it was. I watched that game. I was multitasking. I was watching it as I was sitting at Carver Hawkeye Arena watching the Hawks. But it's one of those games, what an opportunity, because this is a, as you mentioned, North Texas. I had their games in the NIT last year. Gorgeous campus. Of course, a piece of our heart, because that's where Hayden Fry came from. Dan McCarney coached there. A lot of Iowa ties. But a missed opportunity, because this is a team that's now the American. They're NIT champions. Their best player transferred to Kansas State, Tyler Perry. But this is a game I thought the Panthers could win, because they've got a really difficult schedule. They got Lawrence come up, and then it's at South Florida. Then they go to Battle for Atlantis against North Carolina. Ben Jacobson has not backed off on his scheduling at all. But I was excited to see what is going to happen with Jacob Hudson inside, 11.7 rebounds. But Nate Heisey coming back from that broken hand a year ago was sensational for the Panthers.
He was. Bowen Bourne had a good game with 14. And like you mentioned, Heisey with 20. You and I had a chance. They had a couple looks at the end to win that thing in regulation. And shots just wouldn't fall.
Well, they had two calls in the last minute 30 where it was kind of a loose ball situation, and the one was Titan Anderson dove on it, and another one was Trey Campbell in the same situation about 30 seconds left, and it put North Texas at the free throw line. But, you know, as Eldon Miller told me years ago, when you play those out-of-conference games, you're never going to see those officials again, so you better be up five going that last minute, because there's going to be some strange calls happening. And those were two calls that could have gone either way for the Panthers. Didn't go their way. North Texas cashed at the free throw line and put that game into overtime.
Iowa State got out of the chute well, and of course plays Lindenwood tonight, a game you can hear right here on KGYM. Cyclone shot it well. And looking at Iowa State, Kevin, see if you agree. Between now and January, that's really quite a manageable schedule, save Iowa, I guess, yeah?
Yeah, they've got Iowa, Mark, but then they're going down to that events invite in Orlando where they might, you know, VCU's down is a pretty good team. The other side of that bracket's Boise and Virginia Tech. And then you've got Penn State and Florida Atlantic is in that. So there's an opportunity along with Texas A&M and Butler. But, yeah, it's a pretty soft schedule that TJ's put together. But he's got a lot of young guys, but you got to learn to pronounce. I've been practicing the name now. Mila Momchilovich. You're going to hear a lot about that young guy in Wisconsin, because he can really shoot the basketball, 6-for-7 from the three. It gives the Iowa State Cyclones that offensive punch, 6-8 guy they can shoot from the wing that they didn't have last year. And also we saw Keyshawn Gilbert play really well, the transfer from UNLV. That's a guy that they like to play at the combo guard spot. I tell you what, guys, look at the stat line for Hammond Lipsy. This guy has been sensational. 12 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists for the point guard for Iowa State. Just a sophomore.
Well, and he spent the offseason working on his shot. He knew he had to do that. It's still not the greatest, but if he can even shoot, from 3-point range, 33%, something like that, just pick up the percentage a little bit. And with our friend from Wisconsin coming in, I'm working on the pronunciation. You've got it down. I'm working on it. If Iowa State can shoot threes and play the defense that we know that the Cyclones can play, sky's the limit, I think, for what Iowa State could possibly achieve.
Oh, I'm with you. I think this is a really talented team with some offensive punch. And, Lipsy was 2-for-2 from three last night. I think he made only 8 threes all of last season, and literally people just didn't guard him. they do an interesting thing with Tamen Lipsy. They send him to the offensive glass, which you rarely do with your point guards. And I asked T.J. Bison, he has such a great knack for finding the basketball. I even asked Lipsy at Big 12 Day. He goes, I just go to the free throw line and read where it's coming off. He's one of the best offensive rebounding guards in the Big 12. So look for more of that from Lipsy. But this is a team that's got some depth now. They're a little bit thin, I think, at that five spot. Hassan Ward, they really liked him, but had a goose egg last night. Of course, Jones comes off the bench to give him a high-energy guy. But the guy I really like, we haven't talked about much, Trey King, is now a senior, became eligible halfway through last year. He's really a solid defender and rebounder for the Cyclones.
Iowa with a huge victory over North Dakota. Kevin, you said you were there. And a lot of individuals to talk about, I would guess. Iowa faces Alabama State on Friday and then a game at Creighton next week. I think my question right now is, do you think when Iowa gets into the thick of things that Fran will continue with a 10-guy rotation, or will he slice that a little bit?
From what I've seen, I've been at both their games, the exhibition against Quincy and against North Dakota. Those four freshmen, they are fearless. I can see them. He's going to stay with that rotation. I mean, they come in and they have got some talent. We'll find out more, and I'm sure Fran is waiting for this too. Tuesday, when they go to play Creighton at CHI Arena. Now, Creighton played, Florida A&M. They had 16,000-plus at that game. They're going to have 17,000, 18,000 people in there for that Iowa game. You're going to find out all about these freshmen. So far, playing at home, not intimidated at all, but I really like what I'm seeing. Owen Freeman, this kid's going to be a stud, already is. And Dembele has got that basketball body, long trunk, long arms, knocked in a couple three, kind of that Barkley butt on him. He'll shove people around. The type of guys I used to hate to play against because they're so what we call just natural barnstrong without lifting weights. And the point guard position, which you've always kind of questioned, I think it's in pretty good hands with Bowen and Josh Dix. Two different looks, one small and quick. Dix with some size and great vision. I really like this team. I think it's going to be an exciting team. But the big question, like you said, Mark, is what's going to happen now when you get into a half-court game? This won't be at Creighton. Creighton's going to go up and down as much as Iowa wants to. But when they get in those environments at Purdue, at Illinois, at Michigan State, how can they survive or how will they react in a half-court game? It's the question we're kind of all waiting to see answered.
Yeah, being there as well on Tuesday night, a couple of observations, and I'll ask you about them, Kevin. 1 through 10, I agree with you. I think this might be the best scoring unit that Iowa's had for the first two units that they can throw out there, 1 through 10. A couple things I'm a little bit concerned about. I don't think this is the greatest rebounding team, certainly, that Iowa's had. I think that's a little bit of a concern. And I also think that it's not the greatest upfront defending team as far as foot speed is concerned. I think they're going to have a little bit of trouble with athletic bigs, especially in the half court, like you talked about. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree with you 100%, Scott. And that's why we're going to get some answers on Tuesday, because Creighton's going to roll out Ryan Cockburner, who's the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year at 7'1". They use him as a basically what they call drop coverage. He's just going to patrol the paint. Can Ben Cricke step outside and pull him out there and knock some shots in? He hit a three the other day. And I've seen Cricke, as I said, for 4 years. He can shoot the ball from 17 to 19 extremely well. Can he take that range and expand it? But I'm with you, Scott. There are very skilled players in the front line, and there's some depth now with Freeman and Dembele. But are they physical enough to survive the rigors of that 20-game Big Ten schedule? It's going to be a team that people don't want to play because of the speed that Fran plays with, difficult to guard in transition because almost anyone can take the ball off the glass and start their break. But when you're into a half-court slugfest, how will they react, especially what you're talking about, rebounding inside and being able to defend inside?
Kevin, that James Madison, Michigan State game, that was a hell of a game. and I know how good James Madison's supposed to be. I don't think I want to be Southern Indiana tonight visiting the Breslin Center.
We see this every year, which usually not happening at home at the Breslin Center where they lose one. But I tell you what, guys, this is a Michigan State team that makes 1-3 out of 20, and they've got some guards that have been around in Walker and Huggard. What's going on with the Spartans? Because we were already saying, hey, we got Purdue, Michigan State. Will this end the Big Ten's drought in the Final Four to national championship? And then to have the Spartans trip up like this. And James Madison, good team. They're at Kent State, one of the teams I have next week in the Paradise Gym. So I'm going to be watching them against Kent State here tonight. But, yeah, I'm with you. I would not want to be the team coming in to play the Spartans.
Yeah, and then Michigan State's got to go to the Champions Classic on Tuesday night. So, I'd have to see who they have. But, yeah, pity poor Southern Indiana. Bruce Pearl's former school, by the way.
That's right. And the other team I have in the Virgin Islands is Florida Gulf Coast. So we don't have any Power Five, but we got two former Big Ten coaches coming down. Tim Miles is now at San Jose State, where they had one of the best years ever last year. They went 121. And we've got Pat Chambers at Florida Gulf Coast, who took Indiana down the wire the other night. So I'm going to see some Big Ten former brethren in the Virgin Islands.
Greg in Epworth on our text line, Kevin, wants to know your thoughts on Wisconsin. He said, I'm loving what I've seen so far, but Tennessee will be a big test.
Two contrasting styles. Well, both teams are going to be really half-court defensive teams. Wisconsin brings a lot of people back. The word with the Northern Iowa, Wisconsin, so-called secret scrimmage, which I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this, that Northern Iowa gave the Badgers all they wanted in that game and actually were leading at the end before they subbed. But I'm liking what I see out of Wisconsin. I'm concerned, though, overall about the Big Ten. Big East going to be dynamite. Big 12 good again. SEC's loading up. I'm concerned about where the Big Ten's going to be nationally when this all shakes out.
Rutgers lost the other night. They are rebuilding with Steve Peichel. And then Ohio State got taken down to the wire. Indiana got taken down to the wire. Michigan State lost. It wasn't a sterling first week for Big Ten basketball. Let's just say that.
No, it was not. That Rutgers-Princeton game, I believe that was a neutral site. And this is the Princeton team that was in the Sweet 16 last year. So I tell you what, guys, when I'm looking at NIL and transfer portal, what I'm seeing is I think it's going to create separation in football because you can go out and buy a quarterback and some of those if you need it. But I think in basketball, it's created more parity. And we saw that last year in the Final Four with San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, and those teams that were in it. What's your thoughts on that? I think it's easier to load up now with transfers because you only need two or three in basketball to put your team over the hump.
Well, I agree. I agree 110% with you about football. I think we're going to see a bigger chasm. I'm going to wait and see a little bit for another year for basketball, but you're right. If you need a point guard, you go out and get yourself a point guard. It's going to be the same as in football. Only difference is you got to put the biscuit in the basket every night in basketball, as you know, Kevin.
Well, and I have Abilene Christian next week, too. They go in and win at Oklahoma State. He's got 10 new players on that roster at Abilene Christian. Of course, that's a team that beat Texas a couple years ago in Shaka Smart's last game. So they got a little history and tradition there. And the same thing with Pat Chambers at Florida Gulf Coast. He's got like 9-10 new players. In fact, two guys from Penn State playing for him. So also, we still deal with that extra COVID year. So we're still seeing a lot of older teams in basketball, and we know old wins in college basketball.
All right. You going to be talking to us from somewhere warm next week?
Yeah, guys, I'm preparing for 16 teams as we speak. I'll get you from the beach next week down to Virgin Islands. I got to tell you about our women's field down there. We have got in the women's number 13, Texas. Number 20, Colorado, who just beat LSU. North Carolina State, Kentucky, Cincinnati, Arizona State. It is a loaded women's field.
in the St. Thomas, the Virgin Islands.
That'll be fun. All right. We'll talk to you from the beach next week, Kevin. Thanks.
All right, guys. I'll have a land shark cold and in hand.
There you go. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here each Thursday in the basketball season on the Gym Class and KGYM. Quick break. Come back with a Bowling Night in America wrap-up after this.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 8th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And it was a Wednesday and a bowling night in America. And this wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are indeed the home of Bowling Night in America. And another successful one for the Rusty Nails last night.
It was. It was the number one and two teams in the standings in the adult Evergreen League. The Rusty Nails prevailed over number two, JB's Pizza, 18-12. After a lousy start in the first game, Rusty Nails rallied in games two and three and now have a 8.5-point lead in the league at pretty much the 1/3 poll right now. So a good outcome last night. Several good games in the series last night. Marcus Smith's leading the way for high game 290. Jared Durant of JB's Pizza had 753, and the main reason, our top bowler last night, Bobby Davidson, did not earn a point.
Yeah, Bobby bowled well.
Yes, he did.
That may have been a captain's error. I don't know. I owe Bobby something. He was going up against Jared, so that was a tough one. Jared's a good bowler. They have five really good bowlers. If you want to check out what they have at May City as far as leagues, if you're still interested in that, or if you want to check out their pro shop, they invite you to stop on by out there. And what's the phone number?
Pick up the phone, dial 362-0136, or access the website maycitybowlcr.com.
Yep, we'll do her again next Wednesday night, as that will come around. Tomorrow, Emil Sideway pick six, chance to win a $30 gift card. That'll be coming up on the Friday edition of the show. We'll preview the football weekend. We'll talk X's and O's with Iowa, Rutgers, Iowa State, and BYU, UNI with a big one against Missouri State, pro football, and more. That'll be coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned. Spencer on sports coming your way next. Mark, have a good night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's the Gym Class, KGYM.
At the Home Depot, Saturdays are about two things. Getting ready for company with the Samsung Family Hub Plus refrigerator.
And football.
That's right, Kirk Herbstreet. Search for recipes. Check out scores.